21 past 8 on a Wednesday morning. We read with great interest the turmoil that the Australian Institute of Sport finds itself in after bureaucrats and red tape has caused absolute havoc. There's no scholarships, there's no coaching, and we wonder why perhaps our athletic performance has suffered, particularly from an Olympic level where our medal tallying from a gold perspective has trailed from 16 in Sydney, 17 Athens, 14 in Beijing, 8 in London, 8 in Rio, with a projected number of 12 for Tokyo. But we'll see how that goes. But Rob DeCostello, I'm sure, has been sitting back reading all this information, finding it out and being very annoyed, being the director of the AIS for 6 years and seeing what's happened would be very, very annoying, I would have thought. And he's a legend of Australian athletics, and he joins us on The Breakfast Club to talk about it. Good morning, Deke.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Going very well, thanks. We were pretty annoyed about this last week when we found out more details. When you were made aware of what was happening in the Institute of Sport, what was your reaction?
Oh, look, I mean, it's been in decline for quite a while as it's been sort of dismantled, and more responsibility, which is a proper thing, goes to the national sports. You know, that's, I don't have a problem with that, but there doesn't seem to be the accountability, and with that devolving of roles to the NSOs, they've been given a lot more control of all of their budgets, and I think as a consequence of that, we've seen a huge increase in the dollars, the budget going to administration and office costs, rather than to the pointy end, which is the coaches and the athletes. You know, when I was director of the AIS, and it was a long time ago, and I'll admit that, you know, sort of our focus was absolutely on getting the best coaches in the world, and we had coaches that were on, you know, getting paid more than what I was as director and what most of the NSO CEOs would have been getting. So it's really important that all of these high performance programs are athlete focused but coach driven, and that means that you really do need to put more and more funding into getting the best coaches, and you only need admin people around to take the admin load off the coaches, and not, you know, sort of be out there paying huge amounts, you know, sort of having executives at the commission who are getting over, you know, $400,000 a year is, I think, just obscene, and I think it's absolutely unnecessary. And I think, you know, the tail's wagging the dog now.
Yeah, it's a fascinating scenario from an outsider looking in and seeing what it was and how it all did work back in the old days, we'll call it, Deke, and then what it looks like now. And you talked about the national sporting bodies taking more charge of their individual programs, which does make an element of sense. But is there scope for something like the AIS programs that used to be in full swing to still exist and benefit Australian athletes?
Well, I think so, yeah. I mean, you know, sort of even in the old days, the NSOs were absolutely intimately involved in all of the AIS programs. They just didn't actually employ the coaches and provide the scholarships to the athletes. That was a separate, you know, sort of quarantine bucket of money. And even though that they were involved in the developing of the budgets for their sports, that didn't happen. That they weren't actually driving it, so they weren't able to, you know, sort of shift the budget lines to other areas. And back in the old days, there was this incredible synergy that arose from having coaches from multi-sports, all the top sports, shoulder to shoulder, working and supporting and socialising together and developing their creative programs that they needed to do, and that's now, you know, sort of been dismantled as the new approach has gone into like a silo approach of each sport sort of running their own program. So, you know, that's another thing. And in addition to that, you know, there's been a little bit of coverage lately on the sports science demise, and the AIS was renowned for pioneering sports science and sports medicine, and now that's all been broken up, and a lot of our top sports scientists have been recruited overseas, and we've lost the flow, we've lost the supply chain of developing these incredible technicians who stand with the coaches and support them in their work.
Rob, what's the real impact on the athletes, do you think, for some of these changes and where we see things at the moment? Not just the athletes who are potentially hoping to go and compete at the Olympics this year, but also those athletes who are yet to come.
Yeah, look, I'm really saddened for the athletes, and you know, I'm very conscious, and I know John Wiley is calling for unity as we're only 5 months out from the Olympics, and I absolutely agree, and we need to rally around the Olympic team and the athletes and ensure that they're not distracted from their core business. I know as an athlete, I was oblivious and I took absolutely no notice of what was going on other than my training. I hope that all of the athletes are still, and the coaches are still, absolutely focused on doing the job that they need to do. But behind the scenes, I think we are reducing the opportunity for the most talented young people coming through. You know, we need to be supporting these young kids when they're in that development phase, from about, 16 through to their early 20s. And they're not high profile at that stage, they're still trying to juggle study and other responsibilities. But that's when they're most malleable. That's when you can really change the attitudes and you can really lay the foundations of skill acquisition and physiological development in these young, developing, talented kids. And with the focus now, on just the national teams and stuff, I think that the danger is that it's a supply chain of the future athletes. We need to be finding ways, and hopefully the state institutes are doing a great job to do that. But it's not the same as what it used to be. A lot of the AIS programs were very much focused on developing those developmental stages of the high performance athletes, and I think that's really, really critical. And I'm not confident that it's happening now. So not only will Australia miss out on producing medalists, because it takes 10 years really to get an athlete up to the medal dais. But those kids are missing out on the opportunity to stand tall and proud on the top of the medal dais themselves.
Can you see it going back to the way it was when it proved to be a successful formula, or is it too broken?
Well, I mean, you can always I think quarantine a degree of the high performance sports budget and have a similar approach where the sports can't shift the budget line items to administration and office and executive salaries, and really have that opportunity for coaches to develop that synergy working side by side again. So I think it is possible, not probably the same way as it was. The AIS campus up here in Canberra is pretty run down, and I know John Wiley's doing a lot of work trying to lobby the government to rebuild and renovate and enhance the facilities up here. But it's not much use if the sport can't actually afford to use it. Mm. We've got this Boston consulting approach to high performance sport where Peter Condy and his team are trying to develop all of these experts, but Boston consulting doesn't work in sport. You're not going to be able to have the sports pay for those high quality services and costs that are going to be put in place.
Well, it's a fascinating situation, and it's great to get your insight into it. And we really do appreciate your time, Deke. Just before we let you go, the Olympics are on in a couple of months' time. Do you get excited when there's an Olympic campaign around the corner?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, every Australian does. I mean, we all want to see our athletes do the very best. And we want to see them up on the medal dais, but I just want to see PBs. I want to see athletes going out there and the young, developing ones who are being blooded for possibly the next Olympics. I want to see them on the world stage and doing their personal bests. And that's what I love to see. If you, as an athlete, can do your PB at the Olympic Games, I don't care whether you're up on the dais or whether you've been knocked out in your first round. You've done a great job, and that's what I really want to see is getting those athletes up there. And I know I know, you know, this gold medal ready, you know, sort of getting all of the SAS soldiers and everyone else in there to try to help the athletes perform under pressure is it's a very noble thing and it makes a lot of sense. But, you know, at over $1 million, it's also bloody expensive.
It seems to be.
There's ways to do it, I think.
Yeah, all right. Put a proposal together, Deke, and see if, what you can do. Good on you, mate. Nice to chat, as always, to Australian Sporting Royalty, and we appreciate your time and a complicated issue with sports funding, the AIS.
No worries at all. Great to chat, and keep flying that sporting flag for us.